Folks, there's a story which my second grade teacher told us in our catechism class that very strangely I remembered as I was reading today's gospel reading. Second grade was a long time back. And the story is the story of Michelangelo walking through the garden in Florence, and he saw a block of marble in a corner. And from the story that I later read, this block of marble was acquired by the city of Florence, and it was supposed to be turned into a beautiful sculpture, and it never happened for a very long time. So you have this block of marble, half covered by grass and accumulated dirt. As Michelangelo passed across this block of marble, suddenly he stopped, as if he had seen something. And then to his friends who were with him, he said, "An angel is imprisoned in the marble. I must set it free." And armed with a chisel, he began to work on that block until the figure of the beautiful angel emerged. And my teacher said to us, she said, "Each one of us is an angel in the making. God is the artist. The chisel is the word of God. God uses his word to bring out the best in us." And I know this was a long time back. I had a really good second grade teacher because this story stuck in my head. Later, when I got older, I actually verified the truth of Michelangelo's story. And it turns out that this is actually true. The angel is now in the Basilica of St. Dominic in Bologna, Italy. Folks, as the Easter season continues, we are in the fifth week of Easter, there are two very recognizable movements or shifts that are taking place. In some way, it's all connected to God recreating us anew, just like Michelangelo with that piece of marble. For the first three Sundays of Easter, we heard stories about the physical appearance of Jesus. The emphasis was on Jesus actually coming to his disciples in reality, proving that he was the same Jesus who had died. Now, the emphasis is slowly changing from the physical appearance to an indwelling God. So Jesus says, "Remain in me as I remain in you." Jesus does not use the word "with." He uses the word "in," "remain in me," the indwelling God. That's the first movement. The second movement that we recognize is that there is a visible change in the maturity of the disciples. We see disciples who are more convinced about the mission of Jesus. They're not scared anymore. So you have Paul preaching very boldly about Jesus' mission. And John tries to draw attention to that by using these words, "Just as the branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." It's really pointing out to the fact that the disciples have moved on from being a very immature, scared group of people to this very vibrant and mature church. In other words, just like Michelangelo's story, God is constantly trying to create us anew. Especially in this post-Easter season, Christ is present to the world in many ways, especially in and through us. And if that is true, then the implication for us is that we truly take this presence of Jesus very seriously and try to be that mature group of disciples that Jesus wants us to be. So here are my three practical implications for us today. First, I want to talk about the new presence. The analogy of the vine and the branch tells us the new way in which Jesus is present to his disciples. So first, Jesus is present in his word. So you hear John say in today's gospel reading, "You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you." Jesus' words are powerful in themselves. Jesus' words accomplish certain actions. It prunes the disciples, makes them better than they are. Secondly, Jesus talks about, as I've already said, about the indwelling presence in the disciples. Now, how does this indwelling presence happen? This deep communion is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. So you hear John today talking in his second reading. He says, "Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us." So if you and I need to be the kind of people who are aware of God's indwelling presence, John is saying, be close to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is this new presence of Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus that is not just with us and around us, but in us. And the third way in which Christ is present is not specifically mentioned in today's gospel, but it is already mentioned in John chapter 6. It's the bread of life. Jesus is present to us in the Eucharist. So then, there are three ways in which Christ is present to us today. In his words, in the Spirit, and in the bread. So what is the gospel reading and the reading saying to us? Really inviting us to take seriously the ways in which Christ is present to us. I know we are here at this Eucharist, but during the week, to reflect on God's word, to take God's word seriously, to let it form us, and truly to often take recourse of the Holy Spirit, because that is how Jesus is present to us. And then we can come back week after week and renew this presence as we come to the Eucharist. So Jesus is present for us. Secondly, I want to talk about this new presence that accomplishes something for us. What does it do? This new presence forms disciples. The very last sentence of today's gospel reading says, "And this is how you give the Father glory, that you become my disciples." When Michelangelo saw the block of marble, he saw within that marble an angel. And he used his instruments to chisel out the image he saw. Similarly, the three ways in which Christ is present to us is also meant to create us anew constantly. I was sitting and thinking about this. When Jesus looks at me, if I'm this very rough piece of marble, if Jesus looks at me, what does Jesus see? Michelangelo saw an angel. What does Jesus see in me? Who does Christ want me to be? And today's gospel's answer is disciples. Jesus wants us to be more than just Catholics or even Christians. Jesus wants us to be disciples. If by the end of our lives we succeed in allowing God to prune us and form us into genuine disciples, then life is worth it. Now, what does a disciple look like? We know what an angel looks like. What does a disciple look like? And the best answer to turn to is the Beatitudes. By the end of our lives, we must allow God to make us poor in spirit, meek of heart, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, merciful, clean of heart, peacemakers. That's the character of a disciple. That's how you separate a disciple from the others. Really speaking, then, discipleship is about character formation. And so today we are being invited to allow God, through the three presence, through the Word, through the Spirit, through the Eucharist, to transform us into the kind of persons that God wants us to be. God wants us to be disciples. So the greatest tragedy in our lives would be that if we return to God untouched by God's renewing grace. How tragic would that be, that we have lived a whole life and we did not allow God to recreate us anew. The greatest tragedy is that at the end of our lives, we have professed Christ without realizing our most basic call, the call to be disciples. And thirdly, the path to discipleship. Now, those of you who are parents or those of you who are educators, one of the lessons we teach our children and our students is the enormity of the task of character formation. We tell them life's not easy. None of us have ever taught, you have never taught your children, or I as an educator have never taught my students that it's going to be a cakewalk. If you've got to be successful, you've got to simply work hard. And oftentimes, after giving all the good advice that we can give to our children, sometimes you see them go in such a different direction that we ask ourselves, where did this guy come from? I just met a parent yesterday who told his son, I have no idea where you've come from. Happens. Jesus spent 3 years with his followers forming them to be disciples. And as the story goes, they failed often. And Jesus did not find it easy to form his disciples. Perhaps our story is the same. We are all sinners after all. So to allow God to prune us so that we can be disciples, that is no easy task. To prune self-centeredness, to keep our mind pure and heart pure, to be actually peacemakers, especially there's so much turmoil in our nation right now. For us to be peacemakers, to give till it hurts, to seek righteousness, this is no easy task. To be constantly open to the Holy Spirit, that takes discipline in prayer. That's no easy task. It's one thing to receive the body of Christ at every Eucharist, but it's quite another to be the body of Christ in our world. That is hard. So to allow God's word to prune us, to let the Holy Spirit be active and to be the body of Christ, that is the path to discipleship. That is how we become serious, mature disciples. That is how we grow and allow Christ to recreate us. So today's readings are an invitation to allow the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Eucharist to form our character. Let me conclude with this. We realize that this Eucharist is a celebration of all those three things that we spoke about. God's word has just been proclaimed. Very soon the Holy Spirit will come and transform this bread and wine into the body of Christ and this community to the body of Christ. And once we have received the Eucharist in our hands, we can go back as the presence of Christ in the world. So the Word, the Spirit, and the Eucharist are all three happening right now. This is how Jesus is present to us today. Let's make use of God's gifts, the Word, the Spirit, and the Eucharist. And may we indeed be Christ's disciples in our world, because it brings glory to God the Father. People of God said,